I was speaking to a friend of mine about Jesus Christ not so long ago, and he said this to me. He said, I can't see why it's so crucial to follow Jesus Christ. I don't follow him now, and life's just fine, he said. You see, that demonstrates how important it is for us to know the real issue when it comes to following Jesus. See, some Christians say to their friends, come to Jesus and life will be better. Well, say that to some of my unbelieving friends, and they'll respond, well, so what? Life's just fine as it is. See, they're not looking for a better life. Life's okay. Maybe that's how you are. Maybe you've come in to church today, not really sure why you're here. Maybe just investigating Christian things, but really, life for you is good. The career is going well. You're in the property market. The future's bright, you say. You've got a mobile phone. The future's orange. Why bother about Jesus Christ? Well, it's an issue of eternity and Jesus' authority over eternity. You see, we saw last week how the crowd listening to Jesus Christ were amazed at the authority of his teaching. Let me just turn you back to chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, those last two verses in chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, that is the things of chapters 5 to 7, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. You see, in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, the crowd has heard all sorts of things that left them amazed. You can just imagine them as Jesus was saying some of these things. Their jaws have been dropping on the ground in astonishment. And not least of all, when they heard these words in chapter 7, verse 21. Let me just read these words to you. And as I read them, you listen to the personal pronouns. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, that is on judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And you see what is going on here? This is astonishing teaching. Jesus claims to have authority in and over eternity. Jesus' claim here is that people will answer to him at the end of the world. See that in verse 22? It is amazing. Chillingly, he will say to many, verse 23, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, not only is he claiming to have authority in eternity and over eternity, but he's actually saying here that to be cast away from him for eternity is the ultimate punishment. To be out of his presence is to experience the greatest calamity men and women can ever face. What an amazing claim. On one or two occasions, when I worked in the newspaper business, I had to reprimand staff members working for me. It wasn't something I enjoyed doing. But you will know, in the business world, sometimes it has to be done. Well, when they came to me, I never dreamt of telling them that their punishment was that they could no longer socialise with me. If I had, they'd have laughed. They'd have laughed all the way back to their desks. That's no punishment. That's a gift. We don't want to socialise with you, Williams. And when they told their colleagues, well, their colleagues would have laughed. And then their colleagues may have said, well, who on earth does he think he is? Why does he think it's so special to be in his presence, the jumped-up megalomaniac? See, if anyone else were to say it, we'd write them off without a second thought. But Jesus Christ claims authority over the eternal destiny of men and women, and the crowds who heard it were amazed at his teaching. Astonished. It's an astounding claim. But as we thought last week, anyone can make astonishing claims. It's quite another thing to deliver the goods, isn't it? How do we know that Jesus actually has that sort of authority? Oh, we've all met people, as I said last week again. You know, we've met people in the office, haven't we, you know, who make these astonishing claims, but they're all mouth and trousers. They don't actually deliver the goods. Now, that is the question behind Jesus' encounter with the centurion in chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Does he really have authority over eternity? Look at verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Now, quite what the centurion's servant was suffering, we needn't dwell on. But we mustn't gloss over Jesus Christ's response. Verse 7, Jesus said to the centurion, I'll go and heal him. Isn't that astonishing? I met with somebody on Tuesday lunchtime, and I greeted them with these words, "How's your day been, John?" And he replied to me, "Well, I'm feeling rather worse for wear. I had a disturbed night and I'm feeling somewhat heavy-eyed. My son was up sick all night long." And so I replied, "I'll go and heal him." I'm glad somebody laughed. Of course I didn't. In fact, with my wife pregnant with twins, my first thought wasn't, "I've got all this to come." See, I wouldn't dream of responding as Jesus did. Yet my guess is that, as Davina read for us earlier, you hardly batted an eyelid when Jesus said, "No, I'll go and heal him." Which just goes to show us, doesn't it, what an impact Jesus Christ has had on this world. We take it for granted that he can heal someone paralyzed and in terrible suffering. But just because we expect it of Jesus, don't lose sight of how astounding these words are. It is astonishing what Jesus said in verse 7. But it's what Jesus heard in verses 8 and 9 that Jesus tells us is the most astonishing thing of all in this passage. See, look at verse 10. "When Jesus heard this," that is the response of the centurion, "when Jesus heard this, he was astonished." See, it must be something special to astonish Jesus Christ. We've already seen that he's already claiming to have all authority over eternity. And yet these words of the centurion completely astonished him. What did the centurion say that was so astonishing then? Well, after Jesus had offered to heal the servant, do you see how the centurion replied, verse 8? "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." You see, what so astonished Jesus in those words was the centurion's faith. We can see that from verse 10. See, Jesus was astonished and he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." The centurion had recognized Jesus' immense authority. The centurion himself knew all about authority. Do you see in verse 9? He had 100 men at his beck and call. That's why he's called a centurion, you see. He spoke. When he spoke, they obeyed. All he had to do was say the word and men jumped. What power he had. Yet the centurion knew that he himself was a man under authority, verse 9. He was answerable to his commander, who in turn, I guess, was answerable to someone else further up the line of command. The centurion, you see, knew all about authority, as does anyone in the business world. See, when I worked in local newspapers, I used to head up a department of 5 full-time staff and about 100 part-time staff. When they stayed in our employment, I guess I could ask them to do things and they had to do it. But I also had to do what the managing director told me to do, and many of you will be in exactly that situation. Yeah, you may have authority over some people, but there's probably someone above you who can tell you what to do. It's the way authority works, isn't it? It's passed down. Now the centurion knew all about that. That's what he's saying in verse 9. But you see, he recognized something different about Jesus Christ. He recognized that Jesus had an authority that was out of this world. Which is why he said to Jesus in verse 8, "It's not right for you to come under my roof. Don't come under my authority." That's the language he uses in verse 9 of being under, you see. "Don't come under my roof. Don't come under my authority," said the centurion. "I recognize in you, Jesus, an authority that is truly great. So great you only have to say the word and my servant will be healed," verse 8. See, Jesus, you have authority far beyond the career structures of this world, much greater than the managing director of your company. Jesus, you have authority over the very fabric of this world. With your word, you can command things that men and women wouldn't even dream of doing. And of course the centurion was right when he made that assumption, because in verse 13 we see Jesus did just say the word and his servant was healed at that very hour. See, the centurion recognized Jesus' authority, but what astonished Jesus Christ about the centurion was not just that he recognized Jesus' authority, but that he trusted it. "Your authority is so great, Jesus, you just say the word and my servant will be healed," verse 8. That's what faith is, isn't it? Understanding the truth about God and then living by it. You see, I often meet people who say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't really treat him as their final authority. The teaching of Jesus doesn't actually impinge on their life, on how they think, on what motivates them, on who they marry, on what career they'll do, on the priority they give to their family. I guess you'll have met people like that. Maybe people in your office who say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't live as if they do. They don't treat him as the final authority. It may be that you are like that. And you might just be coming along here today trying to find out what it's all about. You might think there's something special about Jesus, but you wouldn't treat him with authority. And of course, Jesus knows that there are people like that. Why, he says what he says in verse 10, you see. Now, I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. See, what made the centurion's response so astounding to Jesus was not just that he had faith, but that his faith was so much greater than those who claimed to be God's people, Israel. Now, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Even people who are supposed to be my people don't display this sort of faith, he says. See, Jesus met people all the time who claimed to be God's people, but they didn't acknowledge the authority that Jesus Christ had. They didn't trust him. And he goes on to say, in the long term, that really matters. Look at verse 11. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subject of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, people who appear to be in the kingdom, but actually who don't acknowledge Jesus Christ's authority, they'll be out on the final day. By contrast, outsiders, in this context, those who were not of Israel, the Gentiles, they will come in. That's what Jesus had been saying, isn't it, in chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, as we were seeing earlier. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who appears to be a real Christian will be on the final day. Oh no, they'll be exposed. See, it's not your pedigree that makes you a member of the kingdom of heaven. It's not your family background or your position in society. It's your response to Jesus Christ. How do you treat him? And in eternity, that's what really matters, isn't it? You see, right now it might not bother you two hoots whether you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ or not, but it will bother you in eternity, particularly if he says, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. You see, Christian, that is the issue when you're speaking to your unbelieving friends. If you just say to someone, come to Jesus, he'll make life better now, if their life is okay now, well, it'll be like water off a duck's back. But you see, if we show people how Jesus has authority over all men and women, and he has authority over where all men and women spend all eternity, well, that really matters. That's a relevant issue for everyone, isn't it? You see, you have the most relevant information anyone could ever have about the whole of life. Oh, people will still reject Jesus Christ, but not because the issue doesn't affect them. We all need to know about this, eternity. And Jesus Christ having authority over eternity. You see, that is what this meeting with the centurion is all about. Because here, Jesus demonstrates that he has the final word at the final judgment day. He will determine where all men and women spend all eternity. Because, you see, with just a word, he healed the servant of a Gentile, a man who was considered outside the kingdom of God. Just say the word, verse 8, and I know that he'll be healed. That's what he did, verse 13. He healed the servant, paralyzed and suffering, verse 6. Paralyzed and suffering being a picture, verse 12, of being outside the kingdom of God for all eternity. He healed it. He can change our eternal destiny. See, just as Jesus' word healed the servant, verse 13, so in the same way, Jesus' word determines the eternal destiny of all men and women. Your eternal destiny and my eternal destiny. The eternal destiny of Jews and Gentiles, as he was dealing with here. The eternal destiny of the religious and the irreligious. And that is why it is so crucial to follow Jesus Christ. Because it matters for eternity. That is why, if we are already followers of Jesus Christ, it is so crucial that we help people to see who he really is. That he has this sort of authority. For all eternity. Because fail to recognize his authority, and he will say to us one day, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. And we will spend all eternity in hell, in the darkness of verse 12, where there will be suffering and despair. Now our job then is to learn the response of the centurion, isn't it? Recognize the awesome authority of Jesus Christ. Put ourselves under that authority. And indeed trust him with our whole eternity. Not just with our life, but with eternity. And if we do that, then he says, well then you'll be one of the many who will spend all eternity with me in the new creation, enjoying the great banquet of verse 11. See, he says, I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I wonder if you're sure that you've done that yet. Let's pray together. Lord and God, we are astonished at the awesome authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one who can dictate who will spend all eternity with him and who will be cast away. We're astonished that he has that authority and that he can demonstrate that authority in the healing of this man suffering and paralyzed. We pray that you would help us to recognize and to respond to the authority the way the centurion did, that we may have that same faith, trusting in Jesus Christ alone for now and for all eternity. And we ask it in Jesus' name.